two mutes here. Sorry. Nobody told us that something happened. I must have set the cup down on it. So now can you hear us?
Wow. Does that mean everything you just said?
I have no idea when it was muted. Did you guys hear any of the devotional being read? That's what happens when we get in a hurry, huh?
Yes, exactly what I was thinking, but I didn't want to say it.
Yeah, I think when I set my cup down, I must have hit just perfectly the two mute buttons.
Would they have? Oh, so both were muted. It's not like they could have picked it up for this one either.
No.
Okay,
folks. Just let us know. Those of you that are on.
Otherwise, we'll start over.
If you were here from the beginning, if you let us know if you didn't hear a thing in the devotional.
Yes.
Because I'll read it.
Because that's a good one, and it's important. We should make sure you can hear it.
Oh my gosh. So the only problem is when this, I'm going to have to cancel somehow when it gets automatically uploaded to the podcast because it'll be silent. I mean, they'll hear the music and then silence. So somebody's got, there's people watching. Let us know if you heard the devotional or not. I'm not sure at what point I hit those mute buttons. It could have been after I took a drink and hit it. I don't know. But, this is a good time while we're waiting for somebody to let us know whether they heard us or not of what we talk about, how God interferes with stuff all the time. Yes. on a day that you're going to church where, you get in a fight with the spouse or one of the kids is having a meltdown or you hit traffic and all these moments where, it's obvious that the devil's trying to keep you from going to hear God's word. And that's kind of, here too. We do all this running around. What did we do? We went first one to the first grocery store to look for a roasted chicken. There wasn't one.
In the probably the only grocery store in 100-mile radius that doesn't have roasted chickens.
Yes.
Yeah.
The only one. I don't think I've ever been in a grocery store in the last 5 years and didn't have
period. Chickens. Not even to get chicken breast or right. something. Yeah.
So then we're going, it's getting close. Oh, sorry, I got my band off. It's getting close to time. And so we go to the next place and then we got to decide, the girls wanted something else. And we had to make a decision. And what I liked about it all is that nobody lost their cool. Nobody lost their cool.
Amen.
There was like, hey, I wanted that instead. All right. Well, okay.
Even when we came home with a Big Mac instead of nuggets.
Yes. It could have been a very good moment after all that. We didn't have everything we did. We didn't have the right food.
Nope.
And it could, and I love it.
That's beautiful.
This is the greatest thing. So we have to read the devotional again. Thank you, Danielle, for letting us know. So I'll read it again. Sorry about the silence there. Again, I must
thank you for sticking with us, Danielle. Yeah. I love you.
I hit the buttons. All right, here we go. So just because I need to repeat this too, is that we're reading from My Utmost for His Highest, Boswell Chambers. For those of you that are watching and thinking that we have no idea what we're doing because we're silent to begin with. It's April 7th. It's called Why We Lack Understanding by Oswald Chambers. Now look it. I get to read it my second time.
God is good.
This is the craziest thing when you begin to see God everywhere. This devotional. All right. Why we lack understanding. The reference is Mark 9:9. He commanded them that they should tell no one the things they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. As the disciples were commanded, you should also say nothing until the Son of Man has risen in you, until the life of the risen Christ so dominates you that you truly understand what he taught while here on earth. When you grow and develop the right condition inwardly, the words Jesus spoke become so clear that you are amazed you did not grasp them before. In fact, you were not able to understand them before because you had not yet developed the proper spiritual condition to deal with them. Our Lord doesn't hide these things from us, but we are not prepared to receive them until we are in the right condition in our spiritual life. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. We must have a oneness with his risen life before we are prepared to bear any particular truth from him. Do we really know anything about the indwelling of the risen life of Jesus? The evidence that we do is that his word becoming understandable to us. God cannot reveal anything to us if we don't have his spirit, and our own unyielding and headstrong opinions will effectively prevent God from revealing anything to us. But our insensible thinking will end immediately once his resurrection life has its way with us. Tell no one. but so many people do tell what they saw on the Mount of Transfiguration, their mountaintop experience. They have seen a vision and they testify to it, but there is no connection between what they say and how they live. Their lives don't add up because the Son of Man has not yet risen in them. How long will it be before his resurrection life is formed and evident in you and in me? All right, so let's get into this a little bit. How funny. Because it actually was better the second time.
Great. Anyway. What did you get the second time?
Again, this is my story. This is exactly my running around as a Christian, religious person, trying to act Christian. Again, going to Bible study, going to church, teaching even, and doing some other stuff was... I now realize this now. It was just me going through the motions and thinking because I'm doing this work, I must be accepted by God and I must be one with God. But now I never was. I talked about this. I'm sorry so many times before, but I just want to say that this devotional just really reveals it even more so. It's exactly what I've been talking about in bits and pieces throughout the year. Something happened in Utah where Jesus revealed himself, just like it says here, and was standing in front of me, and I touched his face, and he was present. I felt this presence, but I didn't say anything. This is over now. I think it's about 2 years now. I saw a post the other day that reminded me it was actually about 2 years ago. So I went a full year and didn't tell anybody about that happening.
Nice.
Right? And yes. Because I couldn't understand it, but it was working on me. It was a moment that changed my life. I began to become a little bit closer. I was still kind of wandering, hitting things and wandering around in the dark, tripping over stuff and falling down and getting back up way more often than I do now. And it wasn't until a friend of mine, his name is Bruce Lynn. I've talked about him before. He gave me a devotional. I began reading the devotional every day. I went to a great new church called Calvary Chapel Chino Hills with Jack Hibbs. And I began to just really hear God's words. And I began to listen more. And he began to reveal himself way more often. The devotional is the utmost for his highest. And I began to read it out loud to other people. And things began to happen. Things began to change. And I began to hear his words and began to now... As I said before, it used to be just words typed out on a piece of paper, and I was reading them and they really weren't meaning anything. But now that I read it, I hear things and I feel things and it's living. It's a living word. The Bible is a living book. Right? That's beautiful. The life is coming out of it. And it's all because of these things. I could not tell anybody that I actually touched Jesus' face until it began to work in me.
Aww.
And then I revealed that story to all of you almost not quite a year ago. I guess it's about 8 months ago. I guess maybe 10 months ago.
July.
When I began to think about it. And now I'm way better prepared. God has prepared me. He's given me the ability to hear him now and to see it in everything he does. We just did that. And that's when I was kind of laughing because this time, I'm telling you that we see the devil too, right? If we see God, then we have to see the devil.
Amen.
Right? And so I saw it in going to the store and no chicken. I saw it in the fact that now we had to do one more stop. Now we had to kind of disappoint the girls because they wanted one thing, but we had to tell them that they couldn't have that thing. And then we go to the thing that we told them they have to do and they didn't get the order that they wanted. Right? And then all these things, like the devil's like, yeah, take that, take this. And we're going, ching, ching, like Wonder Woman. I was like Wonder Woman.
Yes.
And so are you. And nobody got angry. Nobody got mad. We got here in time. We went mute.
And mute.
We had to read it again. And here we are. It's all there.
It's all there.
All the pieces are there.
Absolutely.
How do you feel? I'm excited, obviously.
For me, of course, I had a collision with Christ, right? Because it happened much later in my life. But his resurrected life in me is an evolution. So I felt it instantaneously, and my life changed instantaneously. But the process of what Christians call sanctification is ongoing. So I read like fruits of the Spirit, understanding, kindness, gentleness, forbearance, self-control. But until the Lord walked me through those words, I had no real concept of what they mean. Even the past couple of days, I just keep talking to the Lord, being like, can I please manifest those qualities of yours. Like, I want my life to represent the risen Christ. I want to be able to manifest these qualities. And I think it's something we do until we die, that we try to have our lives represent his righteousness. It's just an ongoing struggle, because it's not based on... The most important thing that I've learned in this walk is that it cannot be based on the reaction of other people. You can't do it for fame. You can't do it for acknowledgement. You can't do it for respect from other people. You have to do it because you love Christ, so that he looks at you and says, oh, this is my child with whom I am well pleased. Because if you try to look at it, affirmation from other people, you'll be disappointed. And I mean, that's just the experience that I'm having. And it is, it's quite profound, because at times I cry to him that I love you so much and I don't want to disappoint you. And it's just like this, it's just this kind of, I used to tell people, I'm like, the relationship I have with Christ is the greatest love affair I've ever known. Of course, Andy comes very, very close second, but it's a very, it's really like an amazing thing, because you love him so much. You don't want to disappoint him. And you're constantly trying to manifest the qualities that he wants us to manifest, so we make the world a better place and we bring people towards the truth of the gospel. But that's only possible when we represent the risen Christ. And that's why I think Oswald's, he's pretty serious here, where he's like, please don't talk. Just try not to open your mouths until you can represent that. And so I think that's pretty deep.
Yeah.
They've seen a vision, they testify to it, but there's no connection between what they say and how they live. Oh, right. God forbid. That's terrible. Right? Yes. That's just terrible.
Yeah. Well, I went through that too. It's no sense going into great detail, but I stopped going to church because I knew that I was going and not, I was living a lie. And I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go and lie publicly. Yeah.
And that's maybe being convicted of that, you know, that's the Lord convicting you, like, hey, don't you want to be right? Yeah. Not for other people, but because you love him.
Yeah. Wow. Now, this is like a day to remember when we are challenged. Like, this is a day for me to remember when things are just like not hitting, like everything's like one thing after the next. It wasn't just one thing. Like that, no. You know what? Here's an example of what happens when you stay calm, understand that there's nothing we could have done about any of that stuff.
Well, and you know what I'm grappling with is, should we have not done it at the time? Like, that's because I feel bad because we didn't do it. It's my fault we didn't do it at 9 o'clock. And I mean, as you were speaking and the whole way we were driving and we were rushing like this, I was thinking to myself, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? Like, I shouldn't have moved everything else. Are we rushing? Should we just have delayed it? You know what I mean? Like, I'm just thinking of all these things. Is it God or the devil that we've had this impediment? Was it God saying, hey, slow down, take a breath, stop, think first, you know?
I don't have an answer yet.
Not
me either, because Pastor Jack's on right now too. And Priscilla's on watching us, which I'm very proud of.
Thank you.
But all of us know that we can watch it later.
Right? Yes.
But you know, there's nothing like being there. Nothing. Like, if we would have thought about it, we would have been there. Wait, there was other things going on too. There's a school board, the Board of Education meeting tonight, and they're going to be talking about forced vaccinations of our kids for the COVID-19, which we clearly don't believe in.
Sorry, I'm reading Priscilla's. Woohoo! Praise report. Priscilla got the new job.
Oh, nice.
Awesome. We prayed together last night too. And I'm so happy for you, Priscilla.
Yes. Awesome.
That's awesome.
Fantastic.
But yeah, but see, the thing, the Board of Education, Andy and I prayed, and I was like, I asked him, I was like, okay, let's pray. And then let's see what your first inspiration was. And he's like, let's do this for the kids. And I was like, which was take the kids all somewhere that they wanted to go. And I told him, I'm confident that is the right answer. That's absolutely what we should do, because I woke up this morning saying we should make a memory today. Like, that's what I felt was important. All of our kids are together.
And we went to Sky Zone.
And we went to Sky Zone, taking all the kids together. It's actually gymnastics is the one thing that like literally unites all five kids is that they all love gymnastics. So that choice to me was for sure right.
I got to tell you, I think I don't know if I really made it clear, but when we prayed, I just kept hearing kids in my head,
which is enough.
But it's that voice, that soft voice that they say Jesus has, the Holy Spirit has, that it's a soft voice. Exactly. All I kept hearing was kids.
And to me, I like, because I woke up feeling the same way, I knew that we were on the same page. Mm-hmm. I knew that that's what the Lord wanted. What happened after, like the rest of the night, you know, like rushing to get back at 7, you originally thought maybe we should wait and start at 7:30.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But
yeah, well, we have people that watch. We watch people that, or we have people that watch from the East Coast. And that's why I always kind of go, oh, they're going to be a bit. But again, it was just so many interesting things. And we don't mean to kind of like, you know, I don't know, overdo it with this stuff. But that is the power of being in this place with God, is that it's another thing. I thought people were so weird that everything, well, if it's God's will, they would say, you know, well, you know, every time we talk to them, like, hey, how are you doing?
Well, and now we see
God,
that about everything.
Well, God, yeah, like, thank God. I mean, I want to thank God because he's keeping me healthy. Like, and then, or then they say, well, you get a new job. Well, if it's God's will. And then everything they do, they talk, and I go, what a weirdo. Yeah, what a
what a Jesus freak.
Yes, what a Bible thumper.
We are now Jesus freaks.
I know,
but when you have such unbelievably miraculous lives as ours, I was listening to a couple, actually Brandon Lake and his wife did this show called The Lakes, and they talked about their marriage and how they met and everything. And they were saying that it's really important to go through seasons together before you decide on getting married. And I'm like, I think me and Andy had 12 seasons in a week. So it's like, check, you know, and I think we are still going through a season. It's very, I don't know. It's fascinating to me to think about how many, it reminds me of my whole walk with Christ, is how many emotions I could feel in any given day. Like, he's literally, it feels like boot camp, where he's literally preparing us, arming us, suiting us up, working on us every single day. And it's right. Some days are mountaintop experiences, and some days are like trudging through mud, you know. And it's just, but we keep it together. Yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know it's hard on you because you're such a planner, and you like having plan B's and plan C's. And I go, there's plan A, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And that, I know that's hard.
So right? Hard.
It's hard on my end too, because I go, why are you worrying about it? Like, why do you need to have a plan B? Just we're going to do this. And then if it doesn't happen, then we'll see what we're going to do. So I'm more like, well, let's see what happens. And then after we find out what happens, then let's make a decision. And you don't like that.
not saying you're not right. Not saying you're not right. I'm just hard.
But I think that's another thing that, you know, some of the differences we do have are the strength of our relationship, because you do things that I don't do well. And I little did I know that I needed them as bad as I did, because you've stepped in my business, and your strength has been fantastic. What an addition. Oh, it's like the perfect, like, those are the exact, that's the exact puzzle piece. Like, I've had a couple puzzle pieces that kind of, you kind of make them fit. You ever done that with a puzzle? Yes. And you go, God, this is.
I did that with your kids' Legos. I'm like, I know this is the right piece.
Yes, I'm going to make this work. And I've made things work, and they do okay, but things fall through the cracks and don't quite get done. Scheduling something, there's something doesn't get scheduled when it should have been scheduled. But with Hedia, it is the perfect piece that matches. Aww. That you couldn't find.
Thank you.
Right, in a puzzle that's one color, red.
Yeah.
And you're trying to find, like, it's easier when it has a picture. That's the point I'm trying to make, is that I've been looking, and then I finally found that missing piece.
Well,
it works perfectly.
This right back at you, because Andy has the skill of making decisions quickly on the fly and with authority. Me, I can agonize over, like, what street to take down a particular road. Like, paralysis through analysis is my slogan. So I just overthink everything. And he's like, okay, what are the issues? What do we need to decide? And I'm going to decide them in 10 seconds right now. So, I'm like, oh, thank you. And he's like, what? And he's like, I don't understand why this is such a big. I'm like, you don't understand. Like, you don't understand what it's like to be inside my head. It could be a very scary place sometimes.
Yeah, and I got a big better time to say that because some of that's not the right time to say. I don't understand what. I just need to. Yes. Just let me do this. Let me feel this way for a second. Okay. I want to go back to Cindy here. Can you read that?
I'm under the impression that the vaccine cannot be mandated or mandatory. However, you want to say it's because it's not FDA approved yet. It is purely experimental. So until it has FDA approval, they can't force it on us. And I'm not going to be a guinea pig.
Yeah.
I think Cindy's referring to the Board of Education meeting today where they want to remove parental approval to get the vaccine. Which is very scary.
This is maddening.
Because it's basically saying our kids, when we don't want our kids vaccinated, the kid can go to school and be like, I want the vaccine.
Yep.
But yet we have to deal with the consequences of a sick kid or whatever else happens to that child. I don't think the school's going to carry that. But yeah, so there's a bunch of people activated right now down at the Board of Education. And Andy, hopefully, will be able to do a show about that tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm hoping to interview some people that were there today because we didn't go. I go, what's the alternative? Well, we can find people that were there and interview them.
Absolutely.
And get their take on it and see how things went. Even more than that, we're the science on so much of the stuff. Now I know when we talk about the science, we really mean the science, like the stuff that, you know, the studies, not CNN science, which is stupidity, not Fauci science, because he's wrong. He's been wrong on everything. One of the things in regard to the science that we're hearing, and I brought this up before, is that people that have had COVID-19 and have the antibodies should not be getting the vaccine because it'll either make you sick or cause you inflammation. And you say the more medically.
That's correct. That's exactly it. That it just triggers an autoimmune response and an inflammation for people, especially that have autoimmune conditions, arthritis, fibromyalgia, other kinds of conditions that are basically affecting their immune system. And that's because the two antibodies end up fighting in the body and causing that inflammation.
What's interesting is there's a teacher that one of my sons has to go on a Zoom call after he goes to school. And she's not been able to do these Zoom calls because she's been so sick due to having the vaccine.
And she may have had it and not known.
That's exactly
what I was gonna say. A lot of people were carriers and didn't know. They didn't have symptoms or they got a bad cold.
This is the problem. You need to be tested for the antibody first before you have the vaccine. That's the thing they're not doing. Right. And that's what I asked her. Did you know whether or not you had COVID during the last year? And she said no. But there's a lot of people that will say no, and in fact, they had it. And if you're carrying the antibodies, I mean, you got Pastor Jack had it, and I don't think he didn't miss a day, as far as I know. I mean,
yeah. Well, it could have been one of the times that we thought he was on vacation.
Oh. Yeah, but then he did videos wherever he was.
Yeah.
So whenever he was off, he was doing a video.
Yeah.
So it's hard. I mean, he's another one that apparently did not get sick.
Didn't get at least very sick.
And has the antibodies.
Yes.
So so this is the issue. It's just not, I'm not getting it. And I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to hold me down and give it to me because I don't want to go through this doc. This teacher has been, again, so sick she can't do a Zoom. I mean, it's not like she has to go to class. She just hasn't even been able to get it. And it's like a 45-minute class that she has to teach.
Wow. That's unfortunate.
And she says
she's been praying for her too.
She says it's a really bad flu. Not like the symptoms of a flu. She says it's been really bad. So, and that's from the vaccine. It does not give you antibodies. Exclamation.
There's some backstory to that.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff and there's so much we just don't know. And that's the thing. You can't mandate something right now, whether it's FDA approved or not, without knowing there's so much we don't know. And there's what, four of them? Each one of them may act a little bit differently. So which one are they going to give the kids?
Oh, goodness.
Supposedly.
It's a crazy world. It's a crazy world right now. Even more reason why we all need Jesus. We just have to be able to depend on our faith to live as Christ to die as King.
Yeah. Carol says her husband was being forced. Hence why I am looking for a new home.
Well, I don't know where you're going to go.
Yeah. Florida.
Because Florida's not mandating vaccines.
DeSantis says he's not going to do it.
Oh, wow.
And Texas is the same way. Abbott.
Maybe that's why we can't find a house.
It's possible. It maybe you might be right. So how do we bring that together with today's devotional? Is there a way?
Well, I mean, that's what I was trying to say earlier, is that our lives have to represent the risen Christ, meaning you have to know when to hold them, when to fold them.
Whoa, look at you.
I'm sorry, I brought in an old Kenny Rogers song, but is it know when to hold them, know when to walk away? Because I know some dear friends of mine that are like obsessed with not taking this vaccine. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to be able to listen to the voice of Christ, because we have 5 kids in public schools. Yep. Like, they may have to get a vaccine. I mean, my daughter's had every vaccine, mm-hmm. the measles, the DTaP, the everything else, you know, and they may get to that point. Are we going to pull all of our kids out of school? Like, I want to know that our lives are in a close enough relationship to Christ that he'd be like, you know, okay, don't worry. Just, okay, you will take precautions, but this is not Custard's last stand. This is not where I want you to live and die at this marker. You know what I mean? Hmm. But it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Especially with your ex-wife too. I know she feels a lot of the same things that you do. Like, we don't know, like, maybe a forced vaccine would be what she says. That's it. Let's leave. You know what I mean? Hmm. Because that's one of our issues of why we don't leave.
Yep.
Besides being compelled to stay here. Like, who yeah. knows? Like, maybe her heart shifts and then the Lord's like, okay, leave. I don't, who knows?
Yeah.
But we have to be in that relationship with him to feel
Most kids didn't get a vaccine until they were much older. Any vaccine.
Oh, yeah, because you were homeschooled kids. Yep. No, she had him birth. You know, yep. It was like, load them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Kind of.
We just said, no, they looked at us. Are you sure? And they said, no. They go, are you? And then they had another nurse come in to try to talk us into it. And we said, no, we're not getting the vaccine. Get out of my face. But then they treat you like crap. They're really nice until you say no to a vaccine.
Oh,
then they want to kill you.
Yeah.
That's why we had Bo here in the house. We didn't deal with any of the vaccine stuff. There was nobody to get upset. and I circumcised him myself right there on the cutting board. No, I didn't.
I was speechless.
I said, okay, kids, give me one of the scissors out of your backpack.
Oh, Lord.
with the glue all stuck to
it. Oh, there you go. Well, that's what Abraham had to do. Him and his whole family.
Yeah.
With a dagger of some sort, because they didn't have scissors, right? Loud. And no Novocaine. That's faith. And it was counted to him as righteousness.
Oh my gosh, your face.
Yeah.
Like, did you think for a second I was telling the truth?
I don't know. You said it was such a straight face. I don't know. You're kind of a Mexican hillbilly.
Oh, here we go. Are we going to be talking about the burritos again?
Yes.
Oh, I thought about the other day. Yeah. I go, maybe we went too far.
Maybe.
Not we. Let's talk about your article that's coming out tomorrow a little bit. Can you give a little bit of a preview? Christian Post, Hedy is a columnist.
Yes. I was a little worried. It's a bit edgy, and I was worried they may not approve it as is, but apparently it went through my editor and the managing editor, mm-hmm. and they're like, yes, it's edgy. But it is things that need to be said. So it's basically about the alliance of the radical left and the Islamists to undermine Western values, and basically it's an assault on white America. And it is, I loosely use the term white, and I tell Andy, like, I think I want to make t-shirts about this. We are white America, with a black and an Asian and a Middle Eastern, a Persian and a Mexican, and being like, we're white America, because they basically characterize us as angry white people, mm-hmm. even though we're this massive mix of races and ethnicities, but they just want to pigeonhole us because they want to persecute us.
Right.
And having worked in a field where we tried to isolate and identify a particular community in order to implement a whole bunch of security measures, I know what isolate and identify and pigeonhole looks like. And it looks like that's what they're doing to us. Mm. and it's time for Christians to fight back, because before you know it, you're wearing a yellow star because you didn't fight back. And I, as we were talking about, it's like, look at, ask a Venezuelan person or an Argentinian what a coup looks like and what a communist coup looks like. And we need to be aware.
Wow. That's a good article. I've already read it. I got a preview. I got this. I know somebody. And it's really, and there's a word. I learned a new word, which is not uncommon hanging around with Hedia. She put a word in one of my reports today that I wrote. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, I sound so smart in that report.
You are always smart. You are a great writer.
What's the word again?
Bulwark.
Bulwark. I know. You guys all know that word. I it's a new one to me. But I just to finish up on the article, I love this thing too. This the way that God is working through, you know, us meeting, us doing devotional together, you getting, you know, to become this, the, what did I just call you?
Columnist
with Christian Post. And now it's just building out that reach even more. You know, Breitbart picks it up, and then Christian Digest picks it up.
And those interviews I got.
And then you get the interviews with thousands of people. It's God is so freaking amazing.
Yeah, because none of this opened until us, until you.
No, until you.
Until you.
Oh, I love you. That's gross people out. No, I love you more.
I love you.
No, you hang up.
No, you
hang up. No, you hang up. That's so stupid. All right, let's see. Can't wait to read it. Priscilla, yes, you're going to love it. I think you will love it, Priscilla, based on a couple of your posts I've seen lately. You are on fire with your post.
Thank you. Yes, we did. We both posted the, and you know, he was Polish. So again, he knows what it means. The pastor that kicked out the police. And we were commenting on that on another devotional, Carol, where we were like, he used Christ's approach of just a single word, demonic, to cast out demons. He just kept saying out, out, out. And that's the way Christ taught the disciples, the apostles, to cast out demons. You don't have to cajole the demon out, because in the presence of Christ, they must flee. So when you speak with that authority and in that power, they must flee. It took a little while. He had to say it about a dozen times, but they eventually flee.
Yeah.
So it was powerful. It's just amazing. You can see it on Andy's page or on my page.
Yeah. And if there's another Canadian church story, let us know if there's another one besides that one. They've arrested a Canadian pastor. I don't know, not too long ago. It was maybe a month ago, for holding service out in a parking lot. It wasn't even inside of a church. It was outdoors. They arrested
him. There's a pastor in Canada in jail still.
Yes.
For holding services.
Yeah. So here, I want to bring Robin's comment up here. So how the world, I don't know either, to tell you the truth, other than God is so good to me now. He was always good to me. But it's, it is fantastic. But Hedy and I had a discussion about you the other day, Robin, if you don't mind me talking about it. And, you put something on her page and you noticed that we had, I said, hey, don't talk bad about me, because Hedy doesn't like it. That was for real. And I wasn't saying it snarky. Although I can be snarky, apparently. But what, you want to share? I love it. We have an opportunity to talk to Robin about it. But it's not a bad thing. And we're not.
You're putting me on this spot.
Yes. And so, but he wrote something where he was saying that I was old or something. I forget what it was. But that's how we talk to each other, right?
Yes.
So Robin and I have this way of talking to each other, which is very colorful, and I call him a jerk and a I hate his guts, but we love each other. I mean, I love him. I'm not sure. I think he loves me. But that makes you feel uncomfortable.
Yes. I mean, what you guys do to each other, I totally respect, stay out of, it's none of my business, but I believe in a very traditional, not only was I raised traditional, nothing to do with the Bible, but I was raised traditionally by my mom. She always honored my father. And in a biblical concept, I am your helpmate, and it is my responsibility to honor you first and foremost, not only privately, but publicly. So I am extremely uncomfortable with being brought in to the banter. Mm. In other words, I get kind of mama bearish, like the same way I get over my kids, where like, I want no part of it. I love you, Robin, but I want no part of insulting Andy, because he is my king and the head of this household. And I love him, and I'm very, very grateful for God bringing him into my life. And I will stay out of whatever the two of you
like to. As long as it's on my page.
As long as it's on your page.
But don't do it on your Facebook page. So there you go, Robin. So I'm wondering why that what I was just protecting. I was just honoring you.
Oh, why? Thank you.
Not protecting.
He doesn't hate me.
He doesn't hate me. I already hate him. All right. So if that makes sense. So
Danielle. That's why people like Candace Owen and Larry Elder get called the Uncle Tom. Danielle, that's exactly what we were talking about in the car. Like, it was just like, you either get called an Uncle Tom, a sellout, a fake, a coconut, all these kinds of names, because we don't want to conform to the plantation they want to keep us all on. And it's just, it's absurd. It's absurd.
Yeah, and we were talking about this today, and I'm going to say a word here, but it's only to make a point. So just understand. Okay. All right. But it's that, I mean, they can call a black guy Uncle Tom. They can call us Nazis. They can call us white supremacists, KKK. Right.
Exactly.
But if I were to call a gay man a fag, they want to destroy me. Right. They want me. They want me fired. They want me, you know, canceled from all the websites and all the social media. Wait, wait a minute. You just called, you just called me a Nazi. And I can't call you fag.
Exactly. Right?
And, but I mean, you shouldn't call somebody fag. Just like they shouldn't call me a member of the KKK. Well, but to them, that's all okay. Nobody gets canceled for that.
It's so hypocritical. Yeah. And you want to laugh because our kids had this discussion. Hmm. One of the children says to my child, you know, Democrats are devils. And she's like, don't say that. You can't say that about all Democrats.
I love my kids.
I'm a Democrat. And she turned around. She's like, well, Trump's a pedophile. And I was like, well, listen to me. Like, do you understand? Do you And I was like, where does that come from? I was like, you cannot insult our values and then say you have to respect mine. I said, respect goes both ways. I said, if we're not going to hurl insults at each other, we're not hurling them in either direction. And so that's the thing. And you've seen it where she's like, you can't say this. You can't say anything about being fat. You can't say anything about being gay. You can't say anything about somebody's color or their ethnicity or anything.
But that's all they talk about is other people's color.
Right. Only when it's related to us being racist, homophobes, and all these other names that they call us. So annoying.
Orale. All right, Carol.
They're not putting fences around some now as a way to keep people in or keep people out.
Well, and then Priscilla has a follow-up that I'm sorry.
Closed and padlocked. Okay. And Grace Life Church in Edmonton, Canada, the authorities closed and padlocked the church today. Oh, God help them. And that's what Jack's always warning us about, that you may come and the doors may be locked. I'll meet you in the parking lot. Those days are coming, folks. The Lord's told us that we would face persecution and that it is not going. And I mentioned that on that interview I did with John Shuttlesworth, where it is inevitable that even though the Christians in America have enjoyed the comfort of being the majority, those days look like they're coming to an end. And the Lord promised if we are in the end times, as many, many people and scholars believe, then that persecution is coming and we need to be prepared. The Lord's always said to me, battle tested, combat ready. So it's this, you know, arming ourselves with spiritual armor. And the most important spiritual honor is trying to live holy and righteous and following God's word. I'm not saying we do it perfectly every day, but it's being ready so that whether it's hearing that, okay, it's time to vaccinate or don't die on this mountain. This is not the hill in which you die. Or it's time to move or, whatever kind of pivotal decisions that we need to make in this time, we need to be able to hear the Lord. So important.
And as we go north from California, it seems like people are becoming more and more deaf to God's word, right? I mean, if you get a start in Oregon, right? We see what's happening there. I hear the Seattle area, or at least Washington, is
Trump, is whatever that word chomp is.
Chomp, yeah, chomp, chomp, chaz, 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 or chomp. But there's the you know, Christianity is just not as present. And then you get into Canada where all of this happening. They it's really going godless in Canada.
It's frightening.
Yeah, the attack on Christianity is very strong. I mean, we're seeing all these stories that they have no problem going into church and threatening to arrest people and padlocking the doors. And then Carol loves her home, but she has to leave because it's just not. And we love California. I mean, yes. We both grew
California
up
California kids.
Yeah, it's rare to meet. It's rare to meet somebody that's born in California that's our age. Right.
Southern California, not even like meandering around California. I didn't leave a 10-mile radius until I was 22. Mm. So I hear you had, I wish I had a cloud to follow like the Israelites.
Yeah.
Amen. It's just at times that's what it feels like it's going to come to at some point, you know, is that if we don't have the cloud, you know, she's referring to the tabernacle that got it at the cloud that was following the tabernacle. And they knew they would pack up when the cloud left and they would stay as long as the cloud was there. And I don't know, you watch these apocalypse movies and it seems that people start to move in packs, like certain, whether it's because you don't get sick, you're one of the people immune to the sickness, or because you survived the disaster and then people need to go to the safe place, you know, and that eventually it may come to that. But meanwhile, we're here.
Yeah.
Holding down the fort.
And we made it on this devotional. Again, those of you that joined late, you probably didn't hear much of what we went through to get on live today. And then when we went live, we were muted. I had the two mute buttons, two of them at the same time, which is
also rare. Yeah. I asked you, I was like, did this mic pick it up? No, because they were both muted.
They were both muted. And read the devotional, did everything with the mute button on. And so it's always great to see that when we just stay calm. And we feel God's presence, and we prayed before we went on, like we normally do. That he still provides. I was not sure if I was going to be able to come up with anything, and when everything started going wrong, it's almost like sometimes you get so distracted. And this has happened to me before in other lives that I've done because everything, the technology is going wrong. I can't function. It's hard to speak because I'm so angry that the intro is not working or the sound, and then I can't come up with anything. Even the stuff that I like, even dog training, where I could talk about dogs in my sleep about dog training, but not this.
Aww,
not when you stay calm, not when you pray, not when you stay in the Word, and you just go, you know what? That's just the devil trying to keep us from getting God's word out. And then we read the devotional a second time.
And we don't hear a peep from those five children. And we just put some food out and that's it.
Yeah,
we
haven't heard another word. Right? Dogs, yeah. You put the food out and then they oh, I'm so full.
Besides the fact that we ran them around for an hour and a half.
Yeah. You wouldn't know we have a house, not a house that really fits all seven of us.
Yes.
Right.
I was going to make a racist joke just now. And I did.
Oh, because I'm Mexican? I have five kids? Is that what you're going to say? I have no problem saying it. Mexicans have lots of kids because we can't pull out because we use the rhythm method.
Oh, no. Here we go with the rhythm method.
Yeah. It was taught in class.
Just to put any rhythm with you Mexicans have.
I have all kinds of rhythm. But sometimes we get going, we can't stop.
Yeah, that's a story that teenage girls in high school often say. You know, the guy's like, yeah, I pulled out. I did. I really, yeah. I did a little way.
But yeah, no, it is taught in the marriage class you have to go through. I think it's like 3 or 4 days in Catholicism. If you're going to get married in the Catholic Church, you first have to have the father's permission. And then...
Were you guys married in the Catholic Church?
In the Catholic Church.
With France or the first wife?
France.
Yeah. Oh.
And had to go to class. And a whole day is spent on the calendar, the rhythm method, temperature.
And that's how Courtney came.
Yes.
I love it.
All right. So how are we going to land this plane in regard to the devotional?
Carol's been to that class.
Yep, there you go. Gets it. Why is that? There it goes. That was a long delay. Yep, it's a goodie. It's a goodie. They even bring, you know, they bring. And I forgot about this. One more thing. They bring in the instructors, which is a married, you know, husband and wife, and their first slide. They have like nine kids. Like,
as proof.
You're teaching us how, you have nine. How many of those were not intended? How many of that were you were just like,
a really heavy set person teaching you diet tips. And I'm sorry to say, but my dear father that I love more than anything in the world, we used to be close to 300 pounds, and he was constantly giving diet advice to me. And I looked at him and I was like, God, really? He's like, I know what you have to do. I just don't want to do it. So I'm teaching it to you. And I was like, okay. Yeah. But yeah, it's not very convincing. It's not very convincing. If it's so great, why do you look like that?
That's kind of the look when I was training hundreds of dogs a week. Hundreds of dogs a week. And then always there would be somebody like, well, what kind of dog do you have? Well, I don't have a dog. Wait a minute, what? I'd always throw them off. I hate dogs.
Oh, no.
And they go, what? I go, no, I don't hate dogs. No, the reason I don't is, or I didn't and still don't, is because we travel all the time. I mean, I'm always traveling. And even then I was traveling all constantly. Every month I was going somewhere for 3 or 4 days.
If you're with hundreds of dogs all week long, why would you want one at home?
Right.
I mean, that's a good enough reason. Even if you weren't traveling.
The other reason is my police dog saved my life. So my police dog saved my life, and we were together every day. We were closer to my dog than I was with any human being, at that point, because we worked together all day long and we trained together. Aww. And we traveled all over the place working and competing, and we were together all the time. And I love that dog. And I have a tattoo out of him on my shoulder. Right there. See my dog?
There he is. There's Falco. He even took his name.
Yeah. There's a whole story behind it. Don't worry about it. I'll tell it someday. And so there was nothing. There's nothing like that relationship with that dog. I spoke to him when we drove around for 12 and a half hour shifts in the back of my seat. We would talk. He would never talk back. But in his eyes, he would. He would go,
so then after he passed, you didn't want to.
It was so hard. I had a couple dogs and I got kind of close to, but none of them grabbed my heart. And again, he saved my life. I mean, he literally found a guy behind the door and bit him, who was getting ready to execute me. And without that dog at that moment, at that time, I would not be here with you. But the dog saved my life. And so when he passed, I immediately put a tattoo on my right shoulder for him. So I don't even know how we got into that. Sorry. About why I don't have a dog. You can't. It's hard to replace something like that. That relationship.
Giving advice about stuff you know nothing about, or like the couple
that had all the kids.
This is how you not
have
kids.
Well, you have nine kids. How are you teaching me not to have kids?
Showing the effectiveness of their
stupid
method.
And they were white. Stupid white people.
An equal opportunity racist. That's what makes you special. No.
Yes. And Priscilla was in that class too.
See that?
Yeah. It was a full day. Well, a full day being like 2 hours or 3 hours, whatever it was. But
that's a lot.
Yeah. And we're just like, oh, really?
How do I land this plane?
Yeah. How do we land this plane?
Let's go back to.
When you hear God, I think I've asked you, but when you hear God, is it a soft, still voice? Is it a strong, like pounding or rah?
Occasionally, it's really loud. I mean, when I, one place he wanted me to leave, a church, I was waiting to speak to him and he wanted me to leave, and I just said go, and he said it twice and it was loud. Otherwise it is. And when he spoke about you in church, it was loud. It was clear and it was loud. When he gave me the ministry, it was clear.
The guy sitting behind you, checking you out every time you stand to worship, and I couldn't even hear the words on the worship.
He did not even talk about the fact that you were behind me. I was trying not to panned because I was afraid you were watching
me. I could see you. Yeah,
I was.
I'll never forget that.
Trying to keep it contained. But so there's a couple of instances, but otherwise, no, I have to discern. I have to get quiet to hear him. And I often will read a devotional or read the Bible, because that is the best way to hear him, is that I'll open it and there's a word that he wanted me to get, and he speaks through his word very profoundly for me.
Today during that prayer, I think maybe one of the first times that I understand what it means to hear God's voice.
Right on! The prayer in the garage?
Yes. Because I just heard kids. I mean, I don't know that it's an audible thing. It's just that the thought is put into your head. Almost like a.
But it's audible enough for you to make it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not externally audible.
Right.
But internally, it was audible. You heard it.
Yeah, kids.
I love that. See?
And I was a little stunned. Like, well, I heard kids, but yet I was still... Okay. I was still fighting with it.
No, So let's go back to the devotional where he says, God can't reveal anything as real. Okay. And our own unyielding, headstrong opinions will effectively prevent God from revealing anything to us, but our insensible thinking will end immediately when his life has his way with us. And it's basically giving up the fact that, oh, I can't hear. Oh, I'm making that up. Oh, no, that's not right. Mm. But just allowing him to speak to us. And it's not easy. It's not easy. But when you allow it, isn't it awesome?
It was awesome. Because the kids had a blast. They had a blast.
I love that.
And they rarely stay that. They rarely fill the full hour. Usually they're worn out within about a half hour, 45 minutes.
But it was beautiful. It was exactly what I wanted. It was exactly what I thought of this morning.
Zara was spotting for Ray and Kelly, and then oh my gosh, and then Kelly kicked Rhett, but that was not positive.
that was the only non-positive event of the whole thing, because Rhett's my little baby, and I got very
two boys fighting. Yes. That was normal. Oh, it was all good. All right, so this was fantastic. So much packed into an hour.
An hour.
What the heck?
Because our friends.
Oh my gosh.
We were chit-chatting. Yes. Thank you, everybody.
So good. All right, we love you guys. We are now gonna watch Jack.
We're gonna watch Jack, and I'm gonna tear at this chicken a little bit if there's anything left. I'm starving.
Like a cave woman.
That was fun too. Andy doesn't like to eat in the car, and I love to eat in the car. And we had this piping hot barbecue chicken in Rhett's lap, and me and Rhett were just salivating, looking at this chicken, and I was like, I really wish I could eat this chicken. And Andy's like, you can eat some chicken if you want. And I was like, can I? And me and Rhett just rip open this bag, and we're just sticking our fingers. Oh, it was perfect.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
And grease on your face. And all that. Yeah.
Come on now. I went to finishing school. There is no grease on this face. Even eating a chicken out of a bag in a truck.
All right. Just 90210.
Kidding. Just kidding.
All right, my friends. We love you guys. Thank you for putting up with us tonight and all the shenanigans. And hopefully it wasn't just necessarily all about us as it often is, but hopefully you got something out of our talk today. I'm sure you did, because it's God speaking, not us.
Amen.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you. We love you. God bless you.
All right. Have fun with Jack. We'll talk about Jack tomorrow.
Yes. Good night.
Take care. Bye.
Left.
Oops. Hi. I forgot to take myself down.